All right, welcome to the stock market update. Today, we're going to talk about the Evergrande meltdown. Will this Evergrande meltdown make the stock market crash? And as you can see, we're still live in Clearwater Beach, Florida.
Yes.
Where are we right now? Together in the same room, and we'll talk about what's happening in the markets here and what will affect the markets. And today's October 11th.
It is.
Monday. Fantastic. Let's get started. So let's briefly talk about Evergrande, the big Chinese development company. I mean, last Monday, it was dragging the markets down because apparently they have $300 billion in debt. And yeah, everybody got super concerned. So should we be concerned, Mark? And I thought we take a look at this. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that it's a great topic. We know that a couple of weeks ago, just the news hitting the markets, markets sold off, and there were some big concerns, and I think it's important to address.
Yeah. So let's take a look at this. Let's actually take a step back here. Let's talk about the Chinese real estate market. And the Chinese real estate market is really interesting. We talked about this in previous stock market updates, that the Chinese real estate market is the driver behind the economy. Here you see it from 1996 to 2016. How the Chinese real estate investments became part of their GDP. So it went up to 16%. I mean, recently, I'll show you a new chart here in a moment. It makes 20% of their GDP. And compare this to the US, right, Mark?
Yeah. That, you know, compared to the US, where it's just under 6% of the GDP, it shows the imbalance and just how big it drives the Chinese economy.
Right. So this is great if you're a developer, because all that Evergrande did is build these skyscrapers. And it's a great business model, right? You build a skyscraper and then you fund it with money, you borrow money. And as we know, borrowing money is cheap. And this is what they did. And then they finish it, they sell it off, they finance the next one, and they just kept this economy going. So all was good until just recently when, here we go, the Chinese housing market started slowing down. So this from Statista. We see that basically it started late 2018, 2019. The market was slowing down. And when it was doing it, I mean, this is when we already saw, you know what? Here we are at the weekly chart of Evergrande. So this is where we see, okay, Evergrande ever since 2020 has basically been choppy and starting to decline.
Yeah, and so this is where a lot of this news has already been factored into the market when we look at the company's stock and also their bonds. I read that approximately 80% or Evergrande's bonds have lost approximately 80% of their value. So it's been factored into the bond market for them as well as the price of the stock.
Right. So this is where then at some point the problems start. And it got accumulated or accelerated basically with the pandemic, because during the pandemic, I mean, most of their work sites got shut down. I mean, as we all know, the economy here in the US almost shut down. And in China, it got even worse. You might have seen the pictures where really everybody had to stay inside and the Chinese cities were ghost towns. And this is where, that's where the whole thing started collapsing. Evergrande's total liabilities swelled to over $300 billion. That's $300 million. So it's a lot. It's a lot. So again, it's not new. So we had the slowing market, and Evergrande, as you can see here, has been in trouble, if you look at the weekly chart, for quite some time, pretty much the whole 2021 right now. So now we need to talk about market. Well, what's it at? Is it at risk? Do we have a risk here?
Yeah, and so the concern comes from their payments, which have been missed, and approximately $131 million in payments have been missed, and there are concerns that they are prioritizing onshore creditors versus offshore creditors, and you know, how will that impact the global markets? And some people have compared it to Lehman Brothers, but...
Right, but here's the deal, right? So this is where, let's take a look at this. So some U.S. companies have exposure because they lend money to Evergrande. And here, this is from Bloomberg. So from Bloomberg, we have this chart where we see we do have some exposure. Let me just zoom in a little bit. And the exposure from some U.S. companies is Ashmore Group, with the biggest one of around, what, $450 million that we have here. Then we have BlackRock, which maybe is around $400 million. Then we have UBS Group with $300 million. You get the idea, right? So this is where the question is, oh my God, if Evergrande falls, will this impact Ashmore Group and BlackRock and UBS and maybe other financial companies, hedge funds or financial companies that are invested in this? And this is where, no. Long story short, no. And here's why. So let's talk about BlackRock. So BlackRock has $400 million invested. So if Evergrande goes down, they lose $400 million. But let's take a look at BlackRock. I Googled it. Do you know how much BlackRock has under asset? How much?
I don't.
Okay, I Googled it. The almighty Google knows pretty much everything. And here's what happened. So the Wall Street Journal said that his assets under management rose to $9.5 trillion. Okay, so $9.5 trillion is a lot of zeros. I believe it's 12 zeros or something like this. So this where, okay, let's just compare this and I put this in perspective. So this is almost like if you have $1,000 in your pocket and somebody takes 4 cents from you. 4 cents, okay? Do you feel this? Not at all.
Probably not. And I mean, here's the other thing too. There aren't just a bunch of knuckleheads at BlackRock that are just letting things ride, you know, doubling down on the Chinese housing market. As you see in the chart, this has been something that people have been aware of for a while. So this position could be scaled back from a larger position.
Right.
And, you know, even with this position, it's minor.
Yeah. Okay. So it will not affect financial companies. Yes, they've write up a few hundred million dollars if they have to, but as I said, they probably unwind the position. So the other question is, if Evergrande collapses, will the Chinese economy collapse? And does that mean, will this have an impact on the US? And this is where I looked it up and saw on CNBC five charts that show how much the US and Chinese economy depend on each other. And doesn't show the pictures right now. Let me see if I can refresh this and bring up the images. There we go. Right, so here we see that the imports from China and exports to China, I mean, it's a pretty big deal for the US. So this is where everybody says, oh, okay, there's a dependency on China. If the Chinese economy goes down, it could impact our economy. So what do you think about that?
I think that that's valid. But I think that, well, there we see services trade with China and the opposite. But
yeah,
I think the bigger concern is, and I forgive me if I'm going to the next step, but
go for it.
I think the biggest concern is this an isolated issue? I don't think it's so much will this issue in China carry over everywhere, but does it affect other companies? And I saw that bonds issued by Greenland Holdings, which has built some of the world's tallest residential towers, including cities like Sydney, New York, Los Angeles, that they're dropping and they're following because people are concerned. But I think that the carryover will have an impact on the markets, but we're not talking about this huge, massive, China's falling so everybody else is.
So what do you think? Why last Monday that the markets plummeted? Because Evergrande might default. Why is that?
Honestly, I think part of it was the reality that it could happen, and it was the news. It was what everybody read.
Because there was nothing else to talk about, right? I mean, during the summer, we have been focusing a lot on COVID cases, and they are on the decline. Let's actually take a quick look. So if we Google COVID cases, and I need to change it from where we are right now in Florida to show all. Yeah, we see it's still declining. I mean, in summertime, of course, we were concerned they were rising. Now they're declining. Okay, then we didn't have any company news because earnings season is starting right now. What else? The Fed, everybody was waiting for last week's jobs report. And this is why there was nothing else to talk about. So, hey, let's pick something out of China. And it has happened in the past, right? I mean, sometimes
sure,
there's something happening in China. Let's drive this market. So I don't think it will have a massive impact on our market.
Could temporarily, if something pops up that people, you know, the markets like certainty. When there's uncertainty, that volatility is great for trading.
Right.
But, you know, that's what traders don't like, or the markets don't like. And we might see that if something new pops up, but I don't think it's going to be this huge Lehman situation. And just based on the numbers we shared, It's yeah. not.
So let's talk about what is actually moving the markets right now. And there's three things, or basically I want to say two things that are moving the market. I mean, number one is definitely inflation worries, right? And this is where, let's start with the jobs report that came out last week. So last week we had the jobs report that has been released. And let me just refresh it here really quick. And this is where we saw that hourly wages were going up, right? So the average hourly earnings increased by 0.6%.
And if you didn't have inflation, that would be a great thing.
It would be a great thing. But now you have labor costs. I mean, they're increasing year over year by 4.6%, which is pretty steep. I mean, I read it was the fastest in, I don't know, whatever years. But so this is a lot. So you have labor costs that are rising. And what else? What other costs do we have that are rising right now?
Your producer prices, consumer prices. It's really carrying over to everything, really.
Yeah.
Gas, oil.
Energy.
Oil.
Energy.
Hit 80.
Oil.
You know,
it hit 82.
Seven-year highs.
Seven-year highs. So, I mean, if you look at a weekly chart here, you see it's way more dramatic here. So energy prices, you can see it here, have been rising. So we had this weird blip during the pandemic when the markets were crashing, where crude oil futures went negative. But ever since, as you can see it, from $20 to $80. So this is 4x. So we have number one, rising labor costs. Number two, rising energy prices.
I read that gasoline is also at its highest that it's seen in 7 years. National average of $3.27 a gallon. Yeah. And in California, that's probably like $5.
Okay. So we need to keep an eye on inflation. And what else are the markets focusing on, especially this week?
Earnings. Wednesday, big day. We have JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo, Citigroup. So earnings is going to be in the spotlight and focus this week. Kickoff on Wednesday.
Yeah. And so this morning, if you look at the market in pre-market trading, I mean, we're bouncing back a little bit. I'm switching to a five-minute chart, and here are the E-mini Nasdaq futures. And we made lows, but now going into the open, we're bouncing back, still down 0.5%, almost 0.5%. Earlier, we were down 0.8%. The S, well, now flirting with a flat line around minus 1% down. And the Dow just turned positive.
I saw that.
Okay, so I mean, we'll see what happens. So the way how we approach the markets is short-term trading with the PowerX strategy. And I ran the scanner. There's something really awesome coming up. So we might take this trade. We'll talk about this here in a moment with our mastermind group who are with us in the room here. So awesome. And then, of course, last Monday when the markets were dropping, it was fantastic for the wheel.
It was like taking candy from a baby.
I wouldn't go that far. But I mean, it was a great day to load up the portfolio.
Taking candy from someone.
Well, you still need to know what you're doing. You still need to know how
treats
to take
without
candy
the trick? Because, I don't know. Either way, it's fun.
By the way, why do they say this? Have you ever tried to take candy from a baby? It's not as easy as it sounds. I mean, they're putting up a fight.
I've never tried. I just like the saying. That's another conversation.
Okay. Anyhow, hey, we get ready for our trading. Hope you enjoyed today's market update. We'll link to a few videos so that you know how we approach the markets. And if you enjoyed us, give us a like, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you in the next video.
Happy trading, everybody.